ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. We're going to pick up with our series on Foundation of Truth, and it's kind of a series within a series. So the umbrella series is Foundation of Truth, that we know what the Bible teaches. Why do we live like we live? Why do we act like we act? Why do we go? Why do we dress? Why do we do what we do? What is it that the Bible teaches us? And specifically, we've been addressing the last 3 weeks now, scriptural principles. Everything is not spelled out in black and white, and yet in black and white, there are principles of truth that we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, that we would know how to serve Him acceptably. One of the principles of truth, the overriding principle of truth and foundation of truth, is love. If love is not our motivation this morning, we will be in bondage to, yes, things the Bible teaches. But when we love, if I love my wife, I do love her. I didn't say, I changed that if. I love my wife, and so it is that motivates me to do things that I might not personally choose to do. But because of love, it's not bondage then, it's freedom. And love brings freedom. Spiritual freedom comes from a love relationship with the Lord this morning. So we have addressed that in multiple messages. I'd like you to turn with me now to the book of 1 John. Many of you could quote this scripture. So while love is our motivation, loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself is foundational, there is a principle of conduct and of our heart that we need to be aware of. The scripture says, love not what? Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Have you ever heard people say the preachers should not preach about things? Don't talk about things. Well, the scripture talks about things this morning, okay? But there's a scriptural principle involved here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that is because the Lord wants to be the focus of your love this morning. If you love the things of this world more than you love God, we will not be able to serve God successfully. We will not be able to make it into heaven. God wants to be the ultimate one that we love. More than our parents, more than our families, more than our jobs, more than money, more than the things of this flesh. That, Lord, I love you the most. So how can we know if we love God? Jesus said, where your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also. So how do you know where someone's heart is? Where is their treasure? Where are they spending their time? Where are they spending their money? What is motivating their decisions? So when we come and say, Lord, I want to know how to serve you acceptably, understand that this principle of love comes back down to some things the Lord told us not to love. Love not the world, neither the things in it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Is not this contrary to what most Christian churches are teaching? Because it's like they're following after the things of the world, and yet they're wanting to hold on to the things of God with the other hand. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Folks, we have to make a decision. Am I going to serve God or am I going to go after the things of this world? We cannot serve both. That is foundational truth this morning. No man can serve two masters. I've illustrated it in this congregation, and I do this in other countries frequently to illustrate the point that if I tell my wife I love her and I am there for her five nights a week, I will be home five nights a week, but just two of the nights, maybe even just one. Oh, honey, I'm your husband six days out of the week, but there's just one day out of the week that there's another woman that I'm with, but I'm with you, honey, six days out of the week. You know what I would say if my wife told me that? It's not good enough. It's not going to work. It's all or none. Do you know that's what the Lord says? That's foundational truth. And no one can force us. It's not that when I came home from Africa a few weeks ago, my wife was still there. You know why? She had the keys of the car. That means she could have left. I don't want my wife to be home when I get home because I took the keys. You get the point? I want her to have the keys because true love is based upon freedom. True love. Where there is no freedom, there is no love. And that is why God created us in the Garden of Eden. He gave man a choice. Because without choice, there is no true love. And so now, if we love God, He wants our all. And that's why when the young rich ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Go." He said, first of all, keep the commandments. So we'll put the list. Thou shalt not kill. Don't steal. Honor your father and mother. And he said, "I've been doing all those things." He said, "Well, go and sell all you have." What he was pointing out was, "I want you to love me more than everything else." And the young man went away sorrowful. Folks, it's still foundational truth for us this morning is we must love God more than everything else. So love not the world or the things in it, because if we love the world, that 100% love and devotion to God is not there. And then he got a little more specific. He said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, do you realize that that verse can say anything you want it to say? Or it can say nothing. Say, "Oh, well, I love God." So this can mean whatever it wants. But again, remember, when we start talking about truth, we have to be honest with ourselves. It's not for the preacher to come with a bat to your home and force you and beat you into submission to follow a list of rules and regulations. It's about us in our life being honest with ourselves. Being honest with ourselves, saying, "Where is my love?" And so he said here, the lust of the flesh. Sensual desires, sexual immorality, gluttony, self-centeredness, putting physical comforts above obedience to God. Is not that the lust of the flesh? What makes me feel good in the flesh? And he said, you cannot love those things. If you love those things, it's going to interfere with our relationship with God. And if you follow after those things, the love of the Father is not in you. Well, he said, the lust of the eyes, desires that are aroused by what we see or convey ourselves. Materialism. Lust of the flesh. There's a spirit of pride there. It really ties in with the pride of life as well. But materialism. Seeking after lawful things. Lawful things. Do we not need cars and houses and money to live? We do, don't we? But the young folks, we've been talking Sunday school about moderation, temperance, self-control. It means that those things are not controlling us, we're controlling them. If I am being motivated by the things of the flesh or by the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, it's going to interfere with my walk with God. So when I start laying some things aside and someone says, "Why do you do that?" Because I love God. I'm not putting that on you, but there's a principle involved that should take root in our hearts when we love God. So the lust of the eyes, materialism, vanity, the entertainments in our world, is not it geared to the lust of the eyes? Remember last week we talked about we could make a list of rules of things you can or can watch or listen to, but the list would not be complete, right? So in our individual lives, Can we not recognize that the entertainments of the world, to a large extent, are focused on the lust of the eyes? If I'm watching something and say, well, I would not do that myself, but I am feeding on something that is creating a desire or that is gratifying something in my heart or in my mind that's of the flesh, it's not right. And it doesn't take a minister's meeting to say, thou shalt not do that. There's scripture right here. And it's between you and God now what we're going to do with it. There's a principle here that my love should not be after the things of this world, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, self-importance, arrogance, the boastful attitude, seeking number one. That's what our world's about. Put yourself first. Do what feels good to you. Do what you want to do. And yet, we're never going to find peace with God when we pursue the things of this world. Young folks, I want to speak specifically to you this morning. You will never find true peace or happiness by pursuing the things of this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it will never satisfy. And then he said, if we love these things, he said, the love of the Father isn't in them. This is a foundational principle to everything that we do should be based on our love for God and recognize the power that this world has. Over in 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, there is a principle that is given to us that may the Lord help us to apply it in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he said, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. Okay, so why do you live like you do? Everything that we do should be done to the glory of God. That is scriptural principle. That is, should be a foundation of truth of everything that we do. The scripture says, whether you eat or drink. You realize that's very practical in and of itself. He had been talking about meat that was offered to idols. If what you are doing, it should bring glory to God. And what is the opposite of bringing glory to God? Bringing shame. Is there anything that we do in our life that maybe it brings shame to the Lord? To have me saying I'm a Christian and yet you all are watching my life and say that's shameful. Do you realize that this is a principle that should apply to every decision that we make, from what we wear to our attitudes to the words that we speak to what we look at to where we go? Is whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Does not that cover every aspect of our life? That's a principle of scripture, of truth. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. And if it's not to the glory of God, there are some things that, yes, I think we could acknowledge are neutral. I mentioned before, if we painted the chapel, you know, blue or yellow, I mean, I wouldn't like it, but I don't think God really cares. So that's a neutral thing. It's not bringing shame. But what we do should not be after the world or pride. If I came in this morning in a gold suit, a glittery gold suit, do you think that would be giving glory to God? Some of you might think that would be awesome. But I mean, really, do you think that that would be something that would be reflective of the spirit of humility that the Bible teaches? You think I'd be wanting you all to look at me? You see, these are personal decisions now then, right? For me personally, I don't believe the Lord would be pleased with that, because I think I would start to be elevating myself, and I would want attention drawn to me, seeking after something of the flesh. Well, this is where everything we do, Lord, I want it to be to your glory. God is a holy God. We talked about that last week. Scriptural principle. Everything should be holy in our life. Pure. Clean. And so that means that everything that we do this morning, whether you eat or drink, let it be to the glory of God. I'm not going to go down and sit in the bar and get drunk and say, Lord, this is glorifying to your name, because I'm not going to be thinking soberly and righteously. Is that not right? When I go, if I went and got drunk and got a little bit inebriated, do you realize people start doing things that they would not normally do? Some people, they say, are mean drunks, and some get very docile, and some get... But it changes how people act. So whether we eat or drink. So then, the children, young folks, you got those earbuds in. Mom and dad come along, and it's good. Parents do this. Young people, don't get upset. Your parents do this. It's a good. Your parents come along and pluck that out of your ear, and say, what do you listen to? See, that's not my job. That's your parents' job. It is their job to look and watch, be sure what you're doing is good. But the reality here is then that whatever we're doing, do we have any reason to be ashamed? As Christians now, if the Lord came along and plucked out our earbud, so to speak, would we be a little ashamed? There's a principle now. So I'm not making a list that you can't listen to this artist and you can't watch that. I'm saying whatever you do, the scripture says it, do it to the glory of God. Don't be a reproach. Because why is this? It's not bondage. Oh, so I can't listen. Oh, honey, I can't be with that woman and I can't be over there. Oh, what bondage. What kind of relationship would we have? No, love is the choice that, yes, would there be a temptation? There's temptations in life. But I choose something, and that creates a bond. It creates a closeness. It creates a relationship that the grass is a little bit greener because of that love. So if there are things in our life that are going to start hindering our relationship with God, things that are not pure, because it says we can't have that in our life. God's a holy God. So this is what should shape our decisions in life. Is it bringing glory to God? And if it's bringing glory to myself through money, recognition, that I'm being driven by those things, God is not being glorified, and it means I'm not where God wants me to be. I want to make it to heaven, do you? I want to make it. But it means I'm going to have to say no to some things in life because I found something better. That's my choice. So is there a cross that we need to take up this morning? Are there some things that you're going to have to give up? Yes, but don't blame the church. Stop blaming the pastor. Don't say those people. Quit saying, understand, this is God's truth. And he said, if you want to follow me, if you want to serve me, yes, deny yourself, but I found something so much better. I found something so much better, and it's liberating this morning. And then in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he said what? He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, see, Jesus died for us. It was a great price. Because of that, he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That covers every area too, doesn't it? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. In how you act, in how you talk. Is it glorifying to God? Is it clean? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it wholesome? Is it uplifting? Is it love? Or is it pride? Self-centeredness? Is it anger? Is it carnal? Is it lustful? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So in our body, if I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, that means inside and outside, doesn't it? And I'm going to address, Lord willing, address this a little bit more specifically another time. But when he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, that is the whole being, inside and outside. And that means that if I am following the Lord, I want when people look on me, I don't want to create or something to be lustful or after the flesh. A woman should dress in a way that when a man sees her, a holy man should not have to turn his head away, because she's to be glorifying to God. Not living after the flesh, not trying to cater to the flesh. And so we need to dress in a way that is in modesty, in simplicity, in purity, in a way that's glorifying to God. And then people look on and say, oh, well, if you go to that church, you have to do this and you have to do that. Again, you know what my answer to that is, right? What is it? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. This is about our relationship with God. And yet, the Lord told us how to have a good relationship. And that means that everything in our life, He wants us to be glorifying to God. In our body and in our spirit. We used as an illustration a few weeks ago about drugs, because the Bible does not say, thou shalt not smoke marijuana, right? Thou shalt not smoke crack or whatever, snort it, whatever you do. Okay, so the Bible does not say that. And yet, there's principles that we've already read the last few weeks that teach you that it's wrong, right? There's principles. This is another one of those principles. If I am doing something that is causing me to be intoxicated, that changes my chemical makeup, that my behaviors are different, then is that glorifying to God? You answer the question in your heart and mind. Is it glorifying to God? Yeah, but it feels good. Is not that after the flesh? Is this exalting a holy God? And so he said, whatever you do, be glorifying to God. Amen? There is another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as well, in the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And similar to that, in the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse, he said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. This is another scriptural principle. When we make decisions in life of what we do, where we go, how we talk, how we act, all of those things, this is a guiding principle. It might be lawful. And so we can have, you know, people can have their spiritual arguments. Well, can you do this and still be saved? Okay? I'm just teaching where we're living, all right? We can have these discussions. I call them hot button issues. Where you go, how you dress, all of these things. You can argue, you can debate, but it comes back down to not my thoughts or yours. What does the Bible teach? And so, motivated by love, now there might be things that are lawful, but it is a scriptural principle of truth that we need to ask ourselves, is it expedient? Is it edifying? When I do this thing, or I go here, or I act this way, is it something that draws me into a closer relationship with the Lord? Do you need the preacher to go home with you to answer those questions? Do you want the preacher to go home with you? Most of you don't. Do you know there are some people that actually do? Because they want someone to tell them what to do, and then they lack spiritual roots. The Lord wants us to get into the Word, walk with the Spirit, and ask ourselves with the Lord and with His Word, is this expedient? It might not be sin. Have you ever done something that wasn't sin, but after you did it, you know it wasn't real good for you? Anybody besides me? Okay. So then what are we going to do with those things? I'm still saved. You can't tell me it's sin, but the question is it good for us spiritually? If I continue to do that thing, if I continue to go there, if I continue to watch that, if I continue to give myself to that, where is it leading me? Is it leading me in a closer relationship with God? And you come and say, Brother Michael, I don't think that's good. And my response is, that's not sin. You can't tell me it's sin. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, what is it doing to my relationship with God? It might be lawful. It might be good in and of itself. But again, going back to this issue of moderation, we can do good things in excess and it'll hinder our soul. We can do good things. We talked in Sunday school. Some people, they just get money. Money burns a hole in their pocket. They get money, they just have to spend. I want to go to the store. Why? Because I got some money. What are you going to get? I don't know. Let's look on Amazon. I'll find something I want. That's not temperate. That's not moderate. And then other people, you can't pry a dollar out of their fingers. You see, there's a balance. There are things that are lawful, folks, but it's not expedient. It's not wisdom. So, and then Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. So it is a scriptural principle for us to consider what power are we under. What is driving our life? Lust? The flesh? Sexual immorality? Pride? The pride of life? Materialism? What's driving us? It might be lawful. Some of it's not. Some of it is. But is it expedient? What are you under the power of this morning? Are these fair questions? Because I can only answer them for myself. But is it expedient? Is how you're living your life, if it makes you, is how we are living our life, is it expedient to spirituality? Can we advise someone, if you see me do it? My grandfather told his boys, if you see me do it, it's okay for you to do it. But if you don't see me doing it, it's not. Can I follow your example this morning? Can I watch your life and follow your example? Or would you say, well, actually, Brother Michael, I know it's lawful, but it's not real expedient. It's not real conducive to spirituality. Then my response is, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? What is it doing to your spiritual walk? What will it do, folks, to the parents this morning, our children, grandchildren that are watching us? What are we teaching them by our priorities, by our decisions of what we're doing? Can they look on us and say, wow, Mom and Dad, every decision they're making, it's being glorifying to God. Oh, I know Mom and Dad could do some things different. So when people come and ask you, why don't you do that? I'm not going to say my church won't let me. There are some decisions I've made in life because of these scriptures. I could do those, and I can't judge someone else's salvation because they're living a little differently. But I found that those things were not expedient for me spiritually, and so I laid it aside because I want to maintain my relationship with the Lord. I won't be brought under the power of any. All things are not expedient, all things are lawful, but they all things edify not. I'd like to conclude this morning with the scripture in Galatians 5:13. Paul said, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. He again, as we studied the book of Galatians, they were not under the bondage of the Mosaic law. But Paul was letting them know, just because we are not following the law, and we are free. We're free in the Lord. We've been set free, but we're set free from sin. We're set free from the power of the flesh. He said, you've been called to liberty. There are too many professing Christians, and may I be a little more specific, there are some people that profess to be church of God, and by that I'm talking about God's church, that they're living in bondage. The Lord wants to set them free. They're living according to these rules, that they're in the straitjacket. But remember the relationship. I said no to them because I value my relationship with her. I'm free. You are being called to liberty this morning, but use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There are some things that we could discuss this morning that we might even have some differences of opinion. But there is scriptural principle. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. All things are lawful. There are a lot of things that are lawful in life, but it's not expedient in our relationship with God. And that is for us to examine our own lives and say what's most important to us. Is it our relationship with God, or is it the things I want to do? And that's between you and the Lord this morning. So it might be lawful, but is it expedient? That is a scriptural principle that is part of the foundation of truth. And then from here, when we have these principles in place, we then begin to, by convictions of the Spirit, set standards in our personal lives. But I'll just give a little preview of what's to come. If we do not understand these principles that I've covered, and there's a lot more, okay? There's a lot more principles in the Scripture. But if we do not understand the principles and we just have personal standards, and then that turns into group standards, if we're not careful, we will lose the very principle of why we're doing what we're doing. And we can be in bondage to a standard without being free because of the scriptural principle. You can chew on that one a little bit. We'll pick up later. May the Lord bless us. Amen.